The Human Magnet Syndrome. It's an amazing story about zombies and things like that, strange things. And we're going to be talking with our guest Ross Rosenberg about all of this next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Ross Rosenberg is with us, has been a psychotherapist since 1988, and is an international speaker, author, professional trainer. He's considered an expert in the fields of codependency, narcissism, gaslighting. We'll tell you what that means. Ross owns the Clinical Care Consultants, which is a multi-location in the Chicago suburbs of Counseling Centers and Self-Love Recovery Institute, which is an educational company promoting personal and professional development. Fascinating work, Ross. Welcome to the program.
Well, George, thank you so much for having me on.
And staying up so late to be with us. I'm impressed.
Well, so is my wife.
All right, great. Gaslighting is a phrase that I'm beginning to hear a lot, and it has to do with somebody who's a manipulator. Tell me a little bit more about that, because that's important to tonight.
Yeah, gaslighting comes from this movie in the 40s with Charles Boyer, and it kind of lingered in our society. It never really caught on until the politics of the last 4 years. Gaslighting is when a person who has sociopathic or psychopathic tendencies purposefully manipulates a person into believing they have a problem that never existed, manipulating the environment to prove to them that they have this problem. And once they fully accept it, they fall within their control. It's a scourge that's impacting so many millions of people globally. And even in our political system, people don't even know that these ideas that have been implanted in their head are not theirs. It fall under the predatory control of these despicable pathological narcissists.
What creates these people, Ross?
Well, these pathological narcissists who have who are sociopaths, they come from backgrounds where that they were born into families that destroyed their capacity to have empathy. So you think about what creates a criminal. It's during the formative years, they were crushed psychologically. So they come into adulthood, and all they care about is getting their own needs. To them, it's better to be the bug instead of the bug on the windshield. They will do anything to get what they need, even if it's at the cost of hurting people. And without empathy, they don't have that internal, what we say in the psychological field, they don't have that cognitive dissonance, an internal unease that maybe perhaps they're doing something wrong.
How can you tell, the average person, how can they tell that they're dealing with somebody like this?
See,
because they're very coy, aren't they?
Yes, and in my book, The Human Magnet Syndrome, I explain that gaslighters like pedophiles, or I should say gaslighters like people who prey upon younger children, they look for the weak ones. So gaslighters require a person who's codependent, a person who was raised to be selfless, to be altruistic, to always believe in people, even when. So they seek that person who is susceptible to their manipulation. It's not a coincidence. Gaslighters cannot fulfill their control destiny with the average healthy person. They need a certain person who lacks psychological strength or has really low self-esteem. So as much as I can tell you about what are the red flags for a gaslighter and how do you find them, they find their victims. Any person who has been gaslit comes from a background where they have already been beaten down. They've already been, any self-esteem or any feeling that of their intuition is correct has been surgically removed from them, and gaslighters can spot them. They can sniff them out, and that's where the human magnet syndrome comes to bear. The narcissist needs the codependent, and the codependent needs the narcissist, like a dancing couple. Without
It's almost like a parasite on a host.
Yeah, it's like that. But that, and the part that I emphasize in my book is the codependent actually feels like they're getting something from the narcissist. And that's why they fall prey to these gaslighting monsters.
They feel good about it?
Absolutely. To understand the human magnet syndrome is to understand that when codependents meet narcissists, they fall in love with them. They experience joy and such wonderful soulmate clouds.
Really? How long does that continue?
It continues until the narcissist comes out of their shell, their mask is taken off, and at that time, the codependent, by their very nature, because of their personality, their weakness, their low self-esteem, their lack of experience in setting boundaries, they are trapped. And then when they are trapped, they make the decision that they've known their whole life. And every codependent will tell you is why fight something, because it's better to be in a relationship than to be alone. And that combination, that what I call the metaphorical dance partnership, that the leader needs the follower. They both are getting something from it. And as much as I can tell your listeners, and I will, look out for these traits, you also have to look out for yourself, because if you are suffering from horrible self-esteem and you have no self-love and you fit this codependent description, that's going to get you at the end. It's not the guy who's going to trick you. Because to a healthy person, George, that not only do these monsters not even try to connect to or manipulate healthy people, they're afraid of them. They can smell them.
Well, what is a healthy person these days, Ross?
Well, see, I've always had this definition, and, being in the psychotherapy field 31 years and having a few years on the side of the couch, healthy is someone who has problems. Normal and healthy is a person who has problems, who has internal resources to solve them, or seeks external resources, whether it's a rabbi, a priest, a therapist. To me, that is healthy, where you love yourself and respect yourself enough to know, hey, this really sucks. I don't like what's going on in my life. I need help.
I got to fix it. That kind of thing.
To me, that is the definition of health. Because I don't believe, and maybe I'm jaded, I don't believe that there's people that don't have problems. I think that's...
Everybody does. We're humans.
Right. And to me, that's a red flag. Someone's hiding something.
Interesting. Now, the person who is the manipulated one, the person who gets manipulated by this narcissist, this gaslighter, are they weak generally?
They are weak. See, to understand a codependent is to understand they just don't happen because of their personality. These people, just like the narcissist, they come from families that created this psychopathology, this mental health problem. So they are by nature afraid of being alone. They are terrified of loneliness. They have so much shame, and they're conscious of it. And so when they need someone to feel good about themselves. So when they fall in love with the beautiful, charming, seductive narcissist, or the bold, funny...
Could be man or a woman, right?
Oh, absolutely. I was going to say, man, they feel like they hit the jackpot. And they don't see a narcissist like, oh, I'm a poor, pathetic codependent. I'll take the narcissist. No, they think of that handsome, edgy, bold, charismatic man or woman, and they think, oh, my God, I've met my soulmate. And conversely, the pathological narcissist finds someone that they can talk about their problems all night. They can go on a date and talk for an hour and a half straight, not be interrupted, talk about their three failed marriages, why they won't pay child support, and that person across the table from them grabs her hand, cries, and says, oh, my gosh, I feel so bad for you. It's like the two are matched so perfectly, and that's the human magnet syndrome. That's the draw that brings them together. But if you are the gaslighting type of narcissist, because not all narcissists are gaslighters, that's the target you want. You are looking for that.
And generally, let's say out of 10 people, what percent would be the narcissist or the sociopath or the gaslighter?
Well, they say statistics are hard to compile when it comes to narcissists. For one reason, is narcissists don't know they're narcissistic. Two,
they do not.
No. The part of the diagnosis is for narcissistic personality disorder, or what we call the sociopath. The diagnosis is antisocial personality disorder, because we in the field we actually have to abide by diagnostic criteria.
It means that they're not outgoing.
No, they don't know that there's anything wrong with them. They tend to externalize all their problems. If something bad happens, they see it in other people.
They blame everybody else.
They blame. And it's called projection. They put onto others what they can't accept in themselves. So if a narcissist meets another narcissist, they will, like, be mad because that person is selfish and self-centered.
They hate each other, right?
It's funny because they're talking about themselves and they don't even know it. And so it's so easy to spot if you're mentally healthy. And again, according to my normal mental healthy definition, it's so easy to spot because they're so broken and need another broken person to feel normal.
Yeah, I want to get a better picture of this if we can, Ross. So
sure.
give us a story or an example, first of all, of the narcissistic person or the gaslighter.
Absolutely. So, well, first of all, all gaslighters are what I call pathological narcissists that have a disorder that's either a narcissistic personality disorder or antisocial personality disorder, which most people know as sociopath. They are, they lack empathy. They are very selfish. They are entitled. They believe that their needs supersede everyone else's. They have this grandiose belief of themselves. In other words, they sincerely believe that they are bigger and better than they really are, and it's a distorted sense of self. They are pushy. They can be arrogant. They can be vain. So this is what I would call your standard run-of-the-mill narcissist. The gaslighter is that narcissist, but now you have to add sociopathy. You have to add not having a conscience, not having empathy, not feeling at all bad at hurting someone. They have to be not only tuned out, but having no connection because they hurt someone so badly that having any empathy would disrupt them. So I'll think of one. I have a client whose husband was a medical doctor.
The husband was, okay.
Husband was a medical doctor. And she was 21, and she came from the family that was so typical of codependence.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about narcissists. And he immediately took control of the family, and she felt she was fulfilling her dream. She found a man. She found a doctor. She got a house.
Right.
And he immediately started arranging not only the family and her life. She found herself pregnant once, twice, three times. And little by little, he would berate her and tell her what is wrong with her. He would manipulate her or the environment or other people to prove that she was inept socially, that her anxiety was out of control. She already had anxiety because she had low self-esteem.
Right, and this just magnified it.
Well, not only to magnify, he created, he manipulated the environment to prove to her that she had something that she didn't have. So at the end of the night, he would say, "Wow, you were really anxious, and you know, people came up to me and asked me if you're okay. You know, maybe you should get some help."
Was he making that up?
Yes, that's it. They are manipulating the environment systematically in order to implant a narrative, and a narrative is a story about yourself.
So they're liars.
They're more than liars. They're sociopaths. They have a plan to hurt, dominate, and destroy someone's individual psychological spirit for the purpose of control and domination.
I mean, is it exciting to them to do this? Why do they do this? They have a need for it, right?
My experience is that the gaslighters don't do it because of excitement. It is because they have this need to feel safe and control in a world that doesn't love them, in a world that hates them. So they have to figure out a way to exist in their own little bubble, secret bubble, feeling like they are on top of the world in which they are godlike, where they can control people and make people love and admire them and keep them trapped without outside interference.
If one of these people, Ross, comes to you for help, how do you get them out of this situation?
I don't.
And it's not easy, is it?
Well, no. Well, it's impossible. Research shows that it's virtually impossible to have successful outcomes for people who are sociopathic.
Really?
You can't help someone who not only doesn't think they have a problem, but who doesn't feel bad about a problem. You have to have some form of dissonance in your thinking. You have to have guilt, sadness, regret. Therapy relies on the fundamental psychological function of feeling bad about what's going on in your life or yourself. If you are a sociopath, gaslighter, or extreme narcissist, you are only feeling bad if someone's catching you. You are feeling so satisfied and fulfilled because you have created your own little bubble where you have your little zombie slave who has been inculcated or manipulated to believe there's someone else, and they don't even know it. You've cut off their relationships with others. You've sometimes cut them off from working. You've interfered with their ability to get help from psychologists. You've interfered with their relationships with families. You have isolated them so perfectly and masterfully that you are guaranteed to maintain this godlike, powerful persona that makes you feel good.
Interesting.
And as sociopaths, you live for that.
Does the sociopath or the narcissist that does this, are they likable initially by people?
Oh, yeah. See, there's different forms of narcissists. I explain this all in my book. But there's different forms of narcissists, and there's actually...
It was well written, by the way.
Thank you.
You did a good job.
I really appreciate that. And there's different forms of gaslighters. In my gaslighting chapter, I specified the different forms because I wanted people to know that they come in different shapes and sizes. So you can have the quiet, sweet, seeming person who is who has this covert fake persona, who builds this belief system that he or she is there to care for you and protect you, and then sets up the environment and is so surprised. I mean, he fakes this when this person, his victim, starts to feel engulfed by their own problem while he's manipulating the environment to make it happen. Or you can be the more aggressive, destructive type where you're the bully. You're you know, any form of dissent can result in an eruption of violence. And there's other forms. But what ties the different gaslighters together is a purposeful, systematic plan to weaken a person, to isolate them, and to inculcate them or implant these narratives that there's something wrong with them that's not true.
To control them.
To get them to believe it. So once you believe you're mentally incompetent, you're socially incompetent.
Or you're out of shape, or whatever they do to put you down, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's a great point. I'm a perfect example of gaslighting, and I actually wrote this, and I think in my book I call it Gaslighting Kendra, is a person who has weight problems. A normally beautiful, attractive woman who maybe was 10 or 15 pounds overweight, which some people would say perfect. But he seized upon that, and he started to berate her, and he started to condemn her and embarrass her. And because she was an emotional eater to begin with, because she has this codependency and this poor self-esteem and all this other stuff, she naturally used food to self-medicate. Some people use alcohol, and so she would
eat. Or drugs.
So food was her drug. So not only would she eat to mask her pain of her husband berating her, he would encourage it. He would buy the ice cream. He would supersize her McDonald's.
Oh, my God.
And all the time, call her a fat pig or chubby.
He was enabling her.
He wasn't enabling her. See, enabling is actually a more sympathetic explanation. He was systematically manipulating her so that she would think that she is so ugly and so fat and so obese that no one would ever love her, that if she ever left him, she would believe the narrative that was implanted in her.
Gee, stay with us, Ross. We're going to take a break. We'll come right back. This is really strange. I can't wait for phone calls. I wonder what we'll get. We'll be back. And welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you. Ross Rosenberg with us. His book is called The Human Magnet Syndrome. His website, selfloverecovery.com. We're talking about the codependent narcissist trap. And that's out there. Apparently, it's more widespread, Ross, than most people know, huh?
Yeah, you cannot believe how widespread it is. In fact, I have this YouTube channel that I would never have believed. It's like actually got 8 million views.
Wow.
And so I put out these videos. In one of my last videos, I used the sixth sense thing. You know, I see dead people. And so what I did was, I used that kid saying, I see narcissists are everywhere, and they don't even know they're narcissists. And I started out the video basically saying that they're everywhere, and the healthier you get, the more you're able to spot them. Narcissists cannot hide from psychologically healthy people. They prey at weak, codependent people. They live in the dark. They live in the margins. And so the number one way to find these people, and they're everywhere, is just to work on your mental health, to love yourself, mm-hmm. respect.
Are these people liars, Ross? I mean, are they just bad people?
Well, I mean, and I go to great lengths in my book, Human Magnet Syndrome, to talk about there's different types of narcissists. There are the ones that we were talking about, the gaslighting, sociopathic ones that have no empathy, and they are unequivocally bad people. There's nothing good about them. Then you have, say, a textbook narcissist who will work hard, take care of his family, as long as everything he does makes him feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's not all that empathetic, but everything has to be for him. And everything comes in the line. Of course, Human Magnet Syndrome says he's going to only meet a codependent. Then he can be this, quote, loving, conditionally loving person. Now, if you go against him, he'll strike back and he will take his love away. So they are harmful people and very hurtful. So I wouldn't call them good people. So there's levels of, and you can't see me quoting, bad. So pathological narcissists are bad because they need weaker people. They prey upon them.
Are they like energy vampires?
You know, people use that a lot to explain pathological narcissists or narcissistic abuse, that they thrive on, as a vampire needs the lifeblood of another person in order to live themselves, and they're the walking dead. So they have to take that from another person and make them closer to, quote, death. Of course, I'm talking about a sci-fi movie, but they need, they're leeches. They have this symbiotic relationship where they can't fulfill their narcissistic destiny unless they meet a person to whom they can exploit. And that's that dance I talked about, the narcissist codependent dance.
You make a point reciting a portion of Hotel California. We're going to play a clip of that, and then you can tell us what this means.
Okay.
Okay, so what does that mean?
Well, I can't get into the mind of the songwriters, but I can interpret it. You know, said the Nightman, we are programmed to receive. You can check out all you want, but you can never leave. In other words, the narcissist is programmed to take, to exploit, and to extract, to pull away. And they make you believe that you can leave anytime you want. See, this is classic gaslighting. You believe gaslighting requires, and this is the bizarre thing, gaslighting requires you to be in love to believe that the gaslighter has your best interest.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the Stockholm syndrome. If you believe that the gaslighter is watching your back, is the one that's trying to help you,
protecting you,
of course. You're oblivious to how they're actually setting you up to make you feel worse about yourself. They might say, hey, you know, this is Hotel California. You can check out whenever you want.
So why would they, this is the interesting question, Ross. Why would the gaslighter, the narcissist,
mm-hmm.
try to make someone feel bad? I mean, I don't get it. Why not just compliment people, help them? You can still probably, you know, obtain your goals. Let's say the goal is they want the person to live with them or something, okay. And they like them.
So now you're talking about a healthy person.
Why do you have to trick them or manipulate them or put them down to try to control them and keep them?
Well, again, we are talking about very disturbed, highly pathological people.
Are they dangerous?
Of course, they're horribly dangerous. A person that you have no idea, I mean, they can ruin a person's life. They can take away everything that was once meaningful, pull their family away, pull their mental health.
Would you say a serial killer might be one of these?
We're actually talking about apples and oranges. A serial killer is sociopathic, but they are murderers. They thrive on whatever excites them. And I'm not an expert on serial killers, but they are very different from the gaslighters. The gaslighters need a relationship in order to get what they need.
Okay, so they don't want to necessarily kill off the person.
No, they don't want them to die. They want them to die inside so that they have nothing outside of the relationship so that they can be entrapped in this Hotel California.
Amazing. So they're insecure by themselves, aren't they?
Oh, they're horribly broken. And if we go back, pathological narcissists, by definition, have no insight into how broken they are. They are oblivious to it.
Now, the person who's captured by one of these people, and I mean emotionally captured, do they ever break loose? I mean, we talked about how the gaslighter probably can't be cured. What about the recipient?
Oh, yes, they can. But if you think about cults, we know a lot about cults. We know about these, Elizabeth Smart and all these people who have...
Manson had one.
Yeah. Once you change someone's thinking and you make them beholden to you and you entrap them, they're stuck and you take away any escape. I mean, the gaslighter, not because they're a sociopath, they can predict escape methods and they close each one of them off. But every so often, something happens. They see, I mean, my YouTube station, the 8 million views and 100 videos, someone sees it and they say, holy blank. And they look at my videos and then they realize, I can't believe this is happening. And they will reach out to a therapist. And that happens, and it happens all the time. It just doesn't happen enough. Now, the problem is to break the gaslighting. I had a session today with a client who is so gaslit, and she is an extremely intelligent attorney, bright, intelligent, and more than you can think. And I was hammering away at how her thoughts were not rational and logical. It's like, if you think of someone that was brainwashed, in the Korean War and they come back, you have to deprogram them. You have to help them see that their thoughts are not theirs. And when someone starts to see it, it's almost like there's a chemical reaction in them. They shudder, they cry, they sob, and they say, oh my gosh, I can't believe this happened to me. But yet, that self-esteem and those psychological problems that created their codependency are still there. So in order to really cure them, not only do you have to help rearrange their thoughts, deprogram them, you have to help that self-esteem, that lack of self-love, that self-hatred, and you have to reverse that inculcated disorder or problem that never really existed that they believe is so bad that no one would love them.
Ross, what happens to the sociopath when the person they were trying to entrap breaks loose and
sometimes
leaves?
Sometimes they get arrested. It all depends. There's different types of gaslighting, and in some type of gaslighting there are crimes committed. There could be rape, there can be stealing. You could have stole everyone's money. But most gaslighters don't ever are not held accountable. They kind of find some darkness where they can lurk long enough to find some safety, and no one can remember them. They might move. They might find, and they ultimately will find another person. You think of a person who preys on children. It's like they will go to a playground and always know the right child, or a person who preys on women who's domestically violent, they will know exactly what to look for. These are very smart sociopaths. They will go underground for just long enough, move, and that's one part. But the other part is they will do everything they have within their disposal and their financial abilities to discredit the person who's accusing them.
Would you call Bernie Madoff a sociopath?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Bernie Madoff is the classic covert narcissist who had Bernie Madoff is a classic sociopath, white-collar sociopath. Classic. He had this outside. He was so good. Sociopaths are expert costume makers, and they're expert at wearing a costume and making people believe that's who they are. Martha Stout wrote this book, The Sociopath Next Door. These people, these type of sociopaths, which are can be gaslighters, they are exceptionally talented at creating this likable, normal persona that makes them fit in society, unlike the sociopaths that end up in prison because they're petty criminals. Yeah, Madoff was sociopath par excellence. What he did and how he did it was worse than any hardened criminal who has a series of rape and aggravated assaults.
Jeez, unbelievable. So what do you recommend, Ross, that people do who may be victims of these kinds of people?
Okay, I say this, and I promise you it's not about self-promotion, because my YouTube channel is for free.
No, and tell me, how do people find you on YouTube?
Okay, if you go to YouTube and you...
And the search engine, what do you put in?
Ross Rosenberg.
R-O-S-E-N-B-E-R-G.
Yeah, I promise you'll find me.
Okay.
I have so much success, that's how Google makes it. You'll find my channel. But so YouTube is filled with, I mean, in fact, I think there's way too many people, and there's so much information out there and fake news. You have to be really careful in who you're listening to. But for your listeners, if you go to my channel and you listen to a lot of my latest work, my last five videos are on gaslighting. I had one video, and I'm not a rock star, so, but I had one video that I put out 4 days ago that's up to 8,000 views. I have one video.
How do they find you?
Oh,
word of mouth?
I'm actually, not to sound...
not to sound sociopathic, but...
No, I wasn't going to say that. Not to sound too full of myself. I've built an international reputation of being a foremost expert on this stuff.
People good for you.
But if they don't know about me, they will put in a Google search, gaslighting, or they'll put in, so they'll find me. And what they'll do is the way that my videos and my book, The Human Magnet Syndrome, is written, it's written from a person. I start my book with a story of my family and four generations of dysfunction. It was a bold move. It was my second book. My first book, the publisher said, no stories about you, put it in the back. The second book, which is self-published, I said, no, people need to know that not only is this codependency thing a problem, they need to know that I was divorced, I married two narcissists, and dealt with so much hell, and they need to know not only was it in my generation, but it was in my mom's generation, mm-hmm. my dad's generation. I went all the way to my great-grandparents. So in my book, I have this personal approach to the problem. And, of course, I'm a psychotherapist with a research clinical background, and I try to give people information in a way that establishes it as credible and helpful.
Do these people get this ability later in life? Are they this way when they're kids? What happens?
So gaslighters or pathological narcissists and codependents can come from the same family. If you ever find someone who is a dyed-in-the-wool codependent and they come from a large family, there is extremely high probability that one of their siblings is a pathological narcissist. So it is the way that a child adapts to a parent who's a narcissist. So if you have a parent who's a sociopath, or a parent who's a pathological narcissist, or a parent who's a gaslighter, the person who adapts to the narcissistic parent by being the pleasing kid, the trophy child, the child that makes the narcissist feel good, they get the scraps of love. They have a childhood that's broken, but they come out of it feeling like, I'm a good person if I somehow sacrifice my reality for someone else. The child that can't. The narcissist get angry, and I'm sure you've met many narcissists, if they feel like you're judge them or you don't like them, they will attack you, they will hurt you, they will burn your bridges. The child that can't make the narcissist feel good is exponentially hurt more badly than the child that is going to be a codependent. So when we look at codependents and narcissists, they both have serious trauma in their childhood. And in the childhood, you develop what I call in my book a relationship template. That template is what fuels the human magnet syndrome. When you come from a healthy family, you are going to have this instinct, this feeling that you want a healthy person. But if you come from a broken family and you're codependent, you're going to feel, and this is the weird part, you're going to feel familiar and paradoxically safe with a narcissist.
Interesting. Stay with us. We're going to come back, Ross, in just a moment. We'll talk more about your work, The Human Magnet Syndrome, but we'll also take phone calls and stories next.